Even at moment of writing, it is kaya vinyati.
So Nina, you were just talking about all of Jonathan's kusala
teachers. Oh, so busy with kusala, setting up all this. And even if there are Akusala Jesus in between, we cannot say all the time Akusala Jesus or all the time Kusala Jesus. Impossible, because they're interchanged, alternate all the time. That's human. We all have that.
So you don't mind about Akusala? You just think about Kusala only?
I mind my own Akusala.
But not the others?
I better not think about it, because I have to mind my own chitta, don't I?
Yeah, for yoga? Is it not yoga?
To mind my own chitta?
Yes.
It depends.
So where is yoga then?
Well,
none at all?
It's there all the time for me, also, of course.
Only you?
Yeah.
So I don't talk about you anymore, because it's only you who knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when we were in the car,
just before we go on to that, so I think that Amina's point though was that she likes to appreciate others' kusala and point out people's kusala and the kaya vinyati conditioned by kusala. And even though we know, like for everyone, of course there are akusala cheetahs in between, and we know there must be asavas, but prefer to just think about people's kusala, not dwell on any akusala, but your comment was the truth is the truth, and instead of just saying kusala, better to know must be akusala.
Yes, but in fact, what is more, akusala or kusala?
Akusala is more often,
Not for you?
It's for everybody.
Oh, okay, but now including Jonathan.
But I don't wish to say names. But Dhammapada says, it's easy to see other people's akusala and point that out instead of knowing your own akusala in a Dhammapada.
Yeah, so follow that is yoga, yoga or not?
To follow the Dhammapada? No. That's good.
So it's all your kusala? So it's all your kusala, your kusala? Because you think about kusala only?
No, it can't be.
If one just repeats what is said in the Dhammapada, and it's yoke, what
it depends if one tries to follow, see, for oneself, for the sake of oneself, is it not yoke?
Like for example, if you just want to just point out, think of the kusala, it's mm-hmm. like actually we think it's kusala, but actually it's clinging to oneself, mm-hmm. just wanting to be the one that thinks of kusala mm-hmm. at that moment.
Yeah.
That's what you
mean. And refer to Dhammapada.
That's okay. It's in the text.
Okay.
Yeah.
According to Dhammapada, it's okay, but according to citta at that moment, we can know better, deeper, more subtle.
You mean we can misunderstand?
No, I mean that whenever there is the idea of my, me,
even goodness,
is yoke again.
It's yoke,
It's asava, which is unknown, and then it can be grosser, and furthermore, there can be yoke.
But the text that is so easy to see others, akusala,
is also true because it's easy to criticize others. But what about our own cheetahs?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's your own citta at the moment thinking about Jonathan's akusala?
I don't know, because it's passed already, once upon a time. I wouldn't know. Yeah. Just now, I don't know, at this moment.
And will it be known?
When it is present.
With? Direct understanding only.
Yeah. Shall I talk about what we had in the car? In the car, we listened to Ajahn in Thai, a lovely Dhamma talk. It was about Manasikara, the three kinds that we discussed this morning, but she gave it in Thai to our friends. And then she talked about the last words of the Buddha, Pachima Vajja, that the Buddha said, don't be heedless. And I asked the meaning, because Ajahn said people don't understand this, what it meant. And she said, we should not be heedless while listening, even while listening to one word about one word and studying that and the meaning. And also, I refer to the present moment, that it must refer to the present moment to be aware of what appears now. That is not being heedless. But in general, people may think they have more confused ideas, not so precise. Is there anything you could add to this?
Now there's Aramana Patipataka Manasikara, like each moment when citta experiences an object is there. Aramana Patipataka Manasikara, and there is also Vithi Patipataka Manasikara, and then there is Javana Patipataka Manasikara right now.
It means that we are not heedful when we forget that it is right now. Everything right now, and we forget, and then we are heedless.
Yeah, in order to understand the word that we hear, like Aramana Patipataka, it is this moment. Vithi Patipataka Manasikana, this moment. And Mano, Chavana Patipataka. Yeah. Manasikara, also now.
This moment, yeah.
So the words of the teaching is all about now.
That's it.
As no self.
We don't hear this from anyone else, only from you. So
from Tipitaka.
From
but
Tipitaka.
We don't take it too much. But if we try to consider the difference between the three, we can see that Aramana Patipataka is moment of Manasikara Cetasika with each citta. That is different from the other two because it's Cetasika, while the other two are cittas. Even one word can bring more understanding of the anatta-ness, little by little. Before there can be the danger of seeing, hearing, and so forth.
I think also we are heedless when we don't realize that life is too short, that we have so few opportunities mm-hmm. to listen to true Dhamma, mm-hmm. and that will be a reminder to us not to be heedless.
And the understanding of once upon a time can condition detachment too. When there's more understanding of each moment as just once in lifetime. So now no doubt about the three manasikaras.
And when, for example, the Buddha urges us to be heedful, and when he gives all the reminders about wise attention, yoniso manasikara, mm-hmm. particularly referring to Javana Patipataka Manasikara, I think referring to the whether kusala or akusala cittas follow mind or averting consciousness, mano dvara vajana citta at that moment. So it's, even though it's referring to yoniso manasikara at that moment, it's actually all kinds of kusala that it's a reminder for. And when
because you see that yoniso manasikara must be manasikara with kusala citta.
Yes.
Not before.
No.
Because before that it is not kusala, it is
right.
kiriya only.
Right. The kusala cittas mm-hmm. that follow the kiriya citta, right. the Kiriya Chitta that just
arise before,
paves the way, yeah, or just clears the way, mm-hmm, for the Kusala Chittas to follow. I know. And so when one reads the text, one has to read it very carefully and understand must be referring only to the Kusala Chittas that follow.
Pave the way might be literally more than just make way. Yeah. What is shorter? Or the same?
Make way a little shorter. But then if I did think afterwards, if you're, for example, translating Votapana Chitta, you can't say paving way Chitta or making way Chitta, so it's a little bit difficult still. But I think it is useful to talk about the three kinds of Manisikara, and relating it to the reminders of not being heedless, and indicating how, for example, the after sense door averting consciousness, seeing arises, and then immediately kusala and akusala follow so quickly, but without that making way for seeing, no seeing would appear. Mm-hmm. And the same with the manodwara vajana before kusala akusala, without that citta, no kusala, no akusala at all. And at each moment, if Manasikara wasn't making way for the object to appear, then nothing would be experienced at all. Again, all back to this moment. No matter what terms we use. Questions on Manasikara or Yoniso Manasikara or anything? When we're reminded not to be heedless, it's particularly referring to sati with panya, but also manasi or kusala.
Yeah, even from the beginning, hearing the teachings.
Didn't you bring up the topic of apamado and last time when you were in Thailand, pamado and apamado?
Heedless.
Heedless. Heedless. Didn't you bring up the
and
topic? Yeah.
I remembered. I don't remember bringing up the subject, but I remember as the last word, the Buddha. And I also know that people think that. It's like a duty one has, not to be heedless. So it's again, it's the self that takes heedlessness for self, and doesn't make things any better by doing that, and understanding what heedless is and what. Not heedlessness is different than just trying not to be heedless or trying to follow what the Buddha said by not being heedless.
People who do not study the teachings at all and think that the words of Buddha are so very common, when they heard about the word heedless, they think that any time getting up so that one cannot fall down if one is, and so on, driving, cooking, anything, not understanding about kusala and the meaning of heedless to understand what he said. Mm-hmm. But when there is no study, no idea about realities at all, it's only the self trying not to be heedless.
Which is not what the Buddha meant when he said, don't be heedless.
It's only understanding of that level. It's not the Buddha's words, anyone's words.
So it can again be a yoga.
Right, everything.
The self-tire, mm-hmm. not to be heedless.
Yeah.
And I hear sometimes in English, I'm aware of what I'm doing, I'm aware when I'm standing, and then they think this is sati already.
It can be when there is the understanding only.
Yeah.
But not of the posture. But at moment of sitting or standing or any posture. Anytime like now.
Yes.
I think that to study just one word at a time is very interesting and very benefit.
Can you say a little more about not being heedless, apamado, and three kinds of manasikara?
Yes. At moment, trying to find out correctly what the three manasikaras are, that is heedless.
Heedless. Yes.
Because it takes you away from the present moment?
To understand reality at level of intellectual understanding from mm-hmm. the very beginning.
So it's good. It's
without it, how can there be the Kittayana or the Patipati without the understanding or is meant by heedless?
Maybe I misheard.
Yeah, I think so too. Heedful.
Okay.
Yeah, I think heedful.
I think that's what was meant, yeah.
Okay. To have understanding.
Yes.
It's positive, it's good, it's kusala.
Yes, yeah. It's heedful. Okay. Sorry. Could you clarify that again, Ajahn, please?
What?
Because heedless means not heedful.
Not to be heedless.
Yeah. Means, not
means to be heedful.
Yeah, that's not heedless. Not heedless.
Yeah, I get mixed up.
Came out.
Yeah.
I think you were saying that an example of being heedful would be understanding the three kinds of manasikara.
And heedless?
Not understanding.
Don't mind at all. What does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain the word heedless?
No, heed.
No. It's just the opposite
of being heedful.
Yeah.
An example. Being heedless would be to be uninterested in the three kinds of manasikara.
No one can understand what heedless means.
Mm.
But they can understand what heedful means.
Mm-hmm.
So what is opposite of heedful?
Heedless.
Is there any difference between no heat and heedful?
I think you mean between no heed and heedless, right?
I think so too. No heed would mean without heed, heedless. If you have heed, if there is, then it's heedful.
What about the middle?
No middle way
on this one.
Well, Vipakajita is
because
neither
you see
one the or
the heedless
other.
Is none at all,
yeah.
And heedless is full of heed.
Mm.
Heedful. Heedless is no heed at all, and heedful is full of heed. Yeah. So what about not full yet? Mm-hmm. A little.
It's either kusala or akusala. No,
which is impossible.
Yeah. If it's kusala, it's
heedful. And if it's akusala, it's heedless.
So heedful can be at any degree.
Yeah, with heed.
Of course,
with
yeah.
Heedful means with heed.
Yeah.
No matter what degree.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like sati.
And panya, yeah.
Mm.
And heedless?
Any akusala.
Without heed. With and without heed. With
and I think heedful. The example you gave at the beginning when you said about it, this trying to understand about the three manasikaras, I thought that you meant that it was an example of heedlessness, because if it's like trying to work it out, it's like wanting to know the story, then it can be self just trying to collect it, so then it's not heedful because it's not understanding, it's just trying to know it. So it's different from understanding what is meant when one hears an explanation or having any understanding at this moment. So that was
that was what I picked up too. The trying is not heedful. The trying to work it out is not heedful.
Yeah.
But the understanding
is.
Makes sense?
Ask Metta what
you
do. It is. Trying to do is heedless. Yeah, because each word is about now. Right. Your three kind of manasikara is we understand about now. Mm-hmm. So trying to know what is Chavana Patipata Kamrasikara is the reality is all gone.
So can there be heedful without understanding?
No.
Why not?
Kusala without
panya.
Panya.
Yes.
Yes, that's the meaning of it.
At the end of his life, the Buddha was urging us to be heedful, apamado. Then he was urging not just sati without understanding, but sati with understanding.
Or
I'm sure,
any
or
level.
All kusala of mm-hmm. all kinds. So it's like yoniso manasikara also can be all kinds of kusala, in some context referring specifically to kusala with right understanding, but in other contexts, all kusala.
That's why for some people, no manasikara of their behaviors at all, just minding about panya only, see?
That's a very good point, what you say now. And maybe you could clarify a little more, since I'm thinking of other people.
Or other realities.
So it's a misunderstanding that people have.
They just want to have sati, especially satipatthana. They don't mind listening to the teachings about other subject at all.
Yeah.
Just wanting to understand satipatthana, especially the kayanupassana, cittanupassana, sati from that point, but it's impossible.
Yeah. So I think they forget about the paramis and all kinds of kusala
mm-hmm.
for which there is
yeah.
an opportunity. And that's such an important point.
Uh-huh.
We can't hear enough of that.
Can they understand when one talks about the Mahasatipatthana without the development of kusala at all?
Very important point, yeah.
That's why Buddha thought about parami.
Yes, yeah.
And it's not in book daily life today. See? It can be moments of kusala or moments of akusala. If we just have intention just to have satipatthana, what about those moments that can be kusala instead of akusala? So panya can lead to all kinds of kusala. And when it's not panya, it doesn't lead to any kusala. Like aversion or ignorance, attachment.
could be like a test also.
Maybe you would say that that's why I think just above the other's good deeds.
What would I say about?
You pay attention to only the other's good deeds, akusala, not akusala.
I like to anumodana. Anumodana dana. Accumulation. I use the word I.
Yeah.
In conventional sense.
Right, you know, right.
Mm-hmm. But it can be accumulation for. Accumulation for anumodana dana. To appreciate others' kusala.
Yeah.
I remember a long time ago when I stayed with you, and I also had the habit of just only pointing out good qualities or something like this. And I like to just see the good, and I think of the people used to say it was a very kind of, it was good quality because it was like very optimistic. And Jan used to say to me, it's not realistic, it's kind of like optimistic, but it's not realistic, just thinking everything is good and everyone is good or something like that. And it can be clinging to being that way or thinking that way too.
It's a good point to say that anumodana dana can be clinging to think in that way, but it can be said of
not together in the same moment.
No, not in the same moment, but it can also be said of each kind of kusala that we think is valuable, dana, sila, bhavana. The self can be behind it always, but not at the same moment.
As long as it's not eradicated.
Yeah. So always the self behind it.
That's why Buddha pointed out not just asava, but also oka and yoka too.
Yes. Because you used to quote often from the Vajjaka Dhammas, the cheating Dhammas, which is very good.
To see lopa that is there, yeah. Always there.
Good point. Wishing to see
the good or something. Yeah. So when it's actually seeing the good, it's kusala, but if it's wishing to see the good or trying to see the good, then it's what for me who would like to see the good.
Yeah.
It's a good point, yeah. I didn't consider it enough.
When Ajahn said to me, yes, but it's not realistic. And it was like it was such a surprise. It's like saying, oh, the truth is the truth, because actually it can't be like that. It can't just be kusala jitas and like for anyone, like it cannot for us. And the same, you know, if someone says, oh, Ajahn, she just sits there and it's all kusala jitas all day, but actually it's no point in saying something like this because we can't know, but it can't be like this for anyone. So, yes, some kusala to appreciate the other's kusala, but they can be just clinging to that idea.
Yeah.
And then the clinging is there. Mm-hmm. And so the truth is the truth.
We won't say anything then anymore.
It's still yoga.
And it's also self.
Yoga again.
Yeah, so I can't escape this. Mm-hmm. I can't escape it.
No, you
cannot. It'll be there all the time.
It's there to be known.
Yeah,
as not self. Yeah.
It's there to be known. If it is not known, it can never be eradicated.
Mm-hmm. Understanding this is Satyayana.
Being really honest about one's accumulation at that time, not kidding oneself, it's all kusala when one just has nothing but praise because it's... the clinging is there for sure. Being honest with the cheetah at this moment.
I'd like to hear more about it.
About this point that it is Satyayana, because I feel that the three... cycles, or how you call it, Satyayana, Kichinyana, Katanyana, very important subject.
Well, I think one knows from one's own experience that when what appears to be all kusala is actually a real mixture of kusala and akusala. So, I mean, when you're actually doing your writing, is it all kusala, jitta?
No, because lots of virya, tiredness, and effort, and with akusala,
right.
You get tired.
Even when you're not tired, though, is it necessarily all kusala when you're doing the writing?
Can be.
Can be.
Can't be.
Can't be. Has to be a mixture, doesn't it?
Of course,
so,
yeah.
One may not even be able to say which moments are kusala, which are akusala.
Not able to say.
So it's a real mixture.
Yeah.
So that's the same, I think, for any apparent act of kusala. Much will depend on the barmi of the individual, but as far as one's own experience is concerned, one can only assume that it's much the same for other people too, I think. A real mixture.
Yes.
And as Ajahn said at the beginning, what is more common, we know, even when it seems like it's a kusala deed, like listening to the Dharma or speaking about the Dharma or helping others, actually a kusala is more common because the asapas come in as soon as they're seeing and hearing. Yeah. And of course, everyone would like to think that in Ajahn's case, it's an exception to the rule for everyone. But we know that only an arahat has no more asapas of any kind. So that's why it's useless to just say, oh, someone has nothing but kusala all day or something, because it's not realistic.
No, it's not realistic. Would you add anything to this?
Yeah. So we don't worry about the previous akusala, like asava, because what can one do? But at moment of understanding reality or pariyatti of all these asava and oka, there can be the understanding that just develop the understanding, that's all. Otherwise it would be yoga again.
And about just develop understanding, we like to hear more.
No attachment to the past and the future.
No. But that can't be on command.
No.
It's, again, anatta.
But by hearing and understanding, it would be conditioned, the accumulated conditions. To condition moment of understanding,
yes.
Not worry about the past and the future.
Yes, but about Satyajnana.
You just said to me, when you realize that the self is behind all this, which seems kusala, but still there's lots of self, it's already the beginning of satyajnana. Is that true?
To know that seeingness should be known. So lopa cannot move you away from understanding seeing right now. As long as lopa and other akusala can move you away to other object, it means that the understanding is not enough. So when there is satyajnana at this moment, but the conditions are not enough to condition direct understanding of it, but the understanding of knowing that it has to be this that should be known will condition more moment to get closer and closer to the direct understanding of this. Like now, see?
When they're seeing, after that, so soon after that, we cling to what we see and the stories and the trees and the people. So it means we are moved away already.
Mm-hmm. But the teachings, the understanding of the teachings will draw one to be close to reality right now.
That is why we forget about seeing and just hearing, since we have the stories that we cling to.
So we would hear more about all these realities.
You have to hear more, mm-hmm. the listening.
Mm-hmm. Asawa, oka, yoka.
But it also helped us to remember that life is too short. Mm-hmm. We know it's necessary to hear more, but life is so very short.
As short as one moment. Yes. Only a moment.
Yes. Even in conventional sense, not so many opportunities, mm-hmm. since life is too short in conventional sense, that we can die any moment.
So be heedful.
Moment of life, no use worrying about it being the last moment of life or life being short. So it's like a reminder that even now, just a reality that appears, just one world for a moment. And it's the same whether life is long or short, still just one moment, just the world of visible object appearing or just the world of sound, just for a moment. So it's a reminder that actually life is only ever just one moment, so no need to think about how long life is or how short, because it's always just this one world appearing at a time. And when we hear about the dharmas, like the different kinds of manasikara or seeing, it's just to remind one that it is just one world appearing. Only heedfulness can only be now.
We can also be lazy or indifferent. Oh, it's only one moment and I have time enough. I don't need to study Dhamma. It depends.
No matter how much we talk about it, it can be as much as condition for understanding later about whatever arises or appears.
Yes. And I think that the reason we're hearing about and considering all these details, like what it means to be heedful or heedless and what is the meanings of manasikara, is just to understand that these dharmas are anatta now. So what appears now, like these visible object, no one can stop it, no one can make it arise, so it's just what appears. So nothing that can be done at all, because it's just one citta followed by vipaka cittas and kusala akusala. So nothing that can be done, so no point thinking about anything to be done at all or not done, because just dharma to be understood only.
Even hearing or understanding about the three kinds of manasikara, it's there. It doesn't mean that you will have this understanding next life, but the understanding of anattaness is more important. Then there can be the understanding of whatever comes to you to read or to hear. Then you understand what it's meant. What's the meaning of all these words? If we have understood before about the three manasikara, last life, we forgot until there can be moment of hearing it again, and then there can it can be conditioned to understand it.
And like Meta and I were saying this morning, or you know, we may hear the details, and then a few minutes later we forget the details, because if it's not really understood, if it's just the terms or the words that are understood, but the reason for talking about it is not understood, or how it applies to this moment is not understood, then we forget it a few minutes later. What do you think, Meta?
Each word, it should be considered very carefully, you see. It's not only remember the name of the details of the Dhamma, so we have to consider the reality right now. It's important.
And I think you have some of your unusual questions you'd like to ask. Like, what was the one about the Buddha you were asking at lunchtime? Where is the Buddha, or what is the Buddha, or what was the question you were asking?
No, I just checked with Alberto on the question.
Would you like to repeat some of your questions?
I just check with Alberto the understanding, not the question. I know. No, no. I ask you the question. Who is Buddha? Just to check. not my question is who is Buddha. Yeah.
And who is he?
No one. It's understanding of the first level. The Buddha for me is the accumulation of understanding, useful understanding, yeah. Not anyone.
Not a self.
Not self, not anyone. Yes. Yes.
So what is now?
It's understanding.
And why do you call understanding Buddha?
I don't understand your question. Why understand Buddha?
Why do you call understanding Buddha?
No, understanding the... what was taught, not understanding Buddha.
Does right understanding fall away?
Yes.
So it also arises and falls away.
Yes.
So where's Buddha now? Completely gone. But once there were such virtues, right understanding beyond expectation or anyone else. Is such understanding still alive? Is there such understanding is here now?
Is here now understanding?
New one, not the same one. So we can say that now we're talking about right understanding, but which one? Mm-hmm.
So if there is understanding now, what is understand? What does it understand?
We are talking about understanding, and we are talking about right understanding, but there must be the object of understanding, not only just understanding without any object. So now, what is the object of right understanding? Is there now? Object of right understanding now. But if there's no right understanding now, we cannot say that this object right now is object of right understanding. It can be object of attachment, ignorance, but not object of right understanding. But when right understanding arises, it understands that which appears as it is, as not self. So is the right understanding of seeing right now? Only the story of seeing, but not the seeing itself. In order to understand seeing, can we think what is seeing because it sees now? So what is it which sees?
You know nodded your head, you said there's understanding of seeing now. What is seeing as you understand it?
No, the understanding here is the... Ajahn is the story that it was taught that the seeing is in the first moment is that is the seeing, the visible object is the story that we were taught. And then the thinking comes and a lot of story about the thinking and everything. Yeah.
Seeing.
What is seeing? What was seeing?
What is seeing now? What is seeing?
I don't understand exactly what is one.
Like we say there is seeing now.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that there is understanding of seeing now, and we know that after seeing there are lots of stories. But what is seeing? What is the characteristic, the nature of seeing? When you say there is seeing now, what is seeing? What do you understand by it?
The seeing you... In fact, I don't understand exactly what you want to mention about what is the seeing. The seeing is...
Right, we're seeing right now. What is it? Can you describe what seeing is? There is seeing.
Yes.
What is it? What is it?
The visible object, what see, and there is the see.
No, seeing.
Yeah. And for my story is... is Alberto who was asking? Yeah.
No, that's the object of seeing itself, not the object of seeing. Seeing is not visible object.
Yeah, the seeing is not visible object. Yeah, seeing, yeah. Seeing.
So, what is seeing? How would you describe seeing? Is it Rupa?
No. So what I can describe for you? Seeing is consciousness from the mind, from the eye sense, no? What else? I don't see.
Okay, so seeing is consciousness. Yeah. So it's chitta, kind of chitta or consciousness. Yeah. And what is the function of seeing?
The function is to mark the object.
Can we say it's to see the object, to experience the object,
to see the object,
because then it's accompanied by other mental factors like sanya, which marks the object. So seeing is just a chitta, just a moment of consciousness that just experiences the object, visible object, and falls away instantly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so... when we think there's understanding of seeing now, is it understanding or is it thinking about seeing now?
The thinking.
About thinking about the quality of seeing now.
The thinking
now.
About all the story that you have said. Yeah.
Thinking about a story of seeing. But thinking about the characteristic of seeing is different from thinking about all the stories about what is seen. So seeing is that reality which just experiences the object. Mm-hmm. And the visible object, just that reality which is seen.
Yeah.
So seeing just experiences, nothing else, no story, no thinking, nothing else.
Nothing, yeah.
Just sees. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And no self involved at all.
Yeah. No self.
I think that as much as one can know about seeing is that there is seeing now. And it's real. This moment is real. So seeing is a reality which sees. Only that. And what about hearing?
It is on the same way.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
It's a reality that no, it belongs to no one. It happen when there is enough condition for this to arise.
And one can know hearing about when, only when hearing arises. That hearing is real. It hears. The other moment, we cannot know hearing because it does not arise, it does not hear. But whenever it arises, there is the understanding that it's real, it's there, it hears. So it's a reality which arises to hear. By understanding each reality as different ones, and it has conditions for its arising, more and more understanding of each one, less and less attachment to that which is known, not self at all. Little by little, no expectation, no wish, because it cannot be understood just by wishing or wanting, just by considering whenever it appears as now, it sees.
Understanding of seeing or thinking about seeing?
And the thinking and the story was tossed.
Thinking about what we've heard about seeing, maybe just beginning to understand a little about seeing.
No, but the people can understand at such level, cannot. It's you can call it, it is understanding.
What about when there is no thinking that seeing sees, but now there is a reality at moment of seeing? Seeing now, just seeing, see? It's there. And hearing, see? When it hears, it's a reality. Arises and falls away. No more now. Is there ignorance about hearing and sound or none? No ignorance? If there is no ignorance, there must be the understanding of a characteristic which is different from other characteristics. Arising and falling away. Only that, at moment when it appears, then we can say that that is the understanding of that which arises and falls away. As no one there, no thing there. What is that sound? See? Hearing is not thinking.
Talking about hearing now, we're not talking about the story we've just heard about what the characteristic of hearing is, but the actual reality just at this moment of hearing. Is there any understanding of it or only thinking about it? Just that reality which experiences what is heard. Is it understood at this moment? Is there understanding of that characteristic of that reality hearing now?
We have to think about it to have right. the characteristic
so
of hearing.
Right, so if we have to think about it, then it's not direct understanding of hearing now, or not even beginning of understanding hearing at this very moment.
Yes,
so
exactly,
that means actually most of the time it's ignorance. So almost all the day is ignorance. So it seems because we've heard quite a lot that there's quite a lot of understanding about realities. But actually even now, most of the time living in ignorance, actually not understanding. Because hearing is arising and falling so often even while we're having this discussion, but almost always it's just ignorance that follows it instantly, ignorance or attachment to what's, to the sound that's heard. So sometimes...
Yeah, but I understand what you said, but my thinking is that the human being is not always to think about it. That is one understanding. And whenever you said about what is the characteristic of the hearing, have to think about it, to say it aloud, to say it loud or out. Can, yeah.
So everyone lives in the world of thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you mean that there cannot be direct understanding of the sound?
The direct understanding, what do you mean by direct?
The characteristic of the sound, of the hearing or sound is understood when, without.
When it appears, and when we when it appears, and then instantly, the thinking and everything come in, and so the understanding. When you ask about the understanding, direct understanding, it is already a story already.
So there's no difference between direct understanding and intellectual understanding?
No, there is the the direct understanding here is the how can I say, because it is the same.
Are you saying or thinking that direct understanding is just that, direct understanding, for instance, of sound, and that any thinking about sound or thinking about direct understanding is not direct understanding?
Yeah, it's a thinking only.
That's right, but that the direct understanding, there would be no thinking, just knowing sound as sound or hearing as hearing.
Yes, direct understanding is like that, but my question is whether the human being could have the direct, as you see that the understanding, but so who has the direct understanding when there is only seeing? Yeah.
What do you mean by human being?
Is like us.
Who is us?
Okay, no. If come to us, the Dhamma, there is no one. So
right.
So only the understanding is not the human being. So the human being cannot
understand anything, right?
No, I mean for the Dhamma, in terms of saying to Dhamma to such very short terms, is not human being at all.
Right?
Yeah.
So no human being to understand anything, right? So just moment of hearing, which hears sound, just that which is heard, usually followed by ignorance, no knowing of anything, and thinking about the story of the sound of what's been heard. So just different dharmas, different chittas arising, falling away. No one who can ever do anything. Yeah. No one who can ever understand anything. No human being involved at all. So what is your question?
No, I don't have a question.
I thought you had a question about human beings.
No, when we talk about the human being, then there is question, but in the Dhamma, there is no human being. So
no human being, so no question.
Okay. There's still, you still have the idea that direct understanding is not possible.
So the understanding is, we understand that, so direct, so you mean by direct understanding that someone who should have such understanding, so no one can have that because there is no one. Yes, Panya know, but Panya is not no one. So the understanding of such level is like that.
But do you think that such understanding is possible or not?
Yes, possible, but instantly, from time to time, can fall away.
Develop, right? The understanding has to develop.
Cannot to develop. It happen when enough condition.
And when, for example, if there's a little understanding now, does it not develop?
It develop itself.
Can it accumulate?
Yes, it accumulates. Yeah.
So it accumulates, it develops.
Yeah.
You said. You said when it happens, it happens. So that is development.
That's accumulation.
Yeah. So that's development.
Yeah.
So it can develop. It does develop.
It does. It must develop.
Yes.
As on its way.
Right. But no one develops it, right? Yeah.
It was just some discussion about seeing and attending to the characteristic, and when there is no thinking, it is the right way. But I understood from you that even when there is no thinking or saying it out in words, it can still be not the right or direct understanding, not the understanding that it is just a reality. Could you add anything to that?
There is seeing right now. Is there any understanding of seeing? Or not yet? Because it falls away and the other reality arises, which can be ignorance or attachment to seeing unknowingly so very rapidly before they can be thinking about it. And thinking can be with understanding or without understanding. Like now, we can think about anything, but it's not the understanding of reality which just arises at all. So from seeing with no understanding of seeing to seeing with some understanding of seeing, they are different, right? And how can there be moment of understanding from not understanding seeing at all in the beginning? Because there can be understanding of seeing. And at the moment when there is no understanding, it is ignorance of seeing. Instead of having ignorance of it, there can be understanding of it, right? How come to have the understanding of seeing? It cannot be just occur by no conditions. And what we are talking about now can bring a little more understanding of seeing as no self. And if there is no understanding of seeing, there is ignorance, for sure. No understanding about seeing. It sees, but it seems like I see all the time, which is wrong. So from listening and considering, it can condition the understanding of seeing little by little, which takes quite a long, long time to understand the seeing as it is, not just only thinking about it. everything is like this for everyone. So we have to understand the difference between the intellectual understanding about seeing and the actual direct understanding of seeing when it sees. The words can explain many, many things, many, many ways, but the understanding is not just can understand directly, instantly. But from hearing and hearing, considering and considering, understanding from the intellectual understanding to direct understanding, it takes time. And they are anatta, so no expectation that now it is gradually sankhara khanda form up the accumulation and condition for understanding seeing.
We may mislead ourselves and think, oh, seeing, yes. And I'm not thinking about seeing now, just considering the characteristic. But in truth, it may be some kind of story.
There must be the understanding about seeing, which is the story of seeing, until there is more understanding that seeing now sees as just not self, because it's conditioned. It's different from moment of thinking. So by knowing that it's seeing, not thinking, it's conditioned. And what is seen is very important too. Otherwise, can it be understanding seeing and no understanding of that which is seen? Mm-hmm. And what can be known easier, or it can happen now about that which is seen and the seeing?
Are you familiar with the word bhavana? What do you understand bhavana means?
Bhavana, from my understanding, is the understanding of the reality as it is.
The development of the understanding, because just one moment of understanding is not enough, so the understanding has to accumulate, it has to develop, it has to grow, so that, like now, there is intellectual understanding of what seeing is, of what visible object is. And the understanding can become firmer and firmer until it is closer and closer to directly understanding the reality of seeing, and then directly understand it, so no doubt, no question about it. So this is what is meant by bhavana. It is the development. If one thinks that because there is no self, there can't be any development, then it's like, what, no use in listening to the teachings, no point in hearing any of these details.
No, I don't say that.
No. So because of there is bhavana, because understanding can develop.
Yeah, everything has to be accumulated and have to be developed.
Right.
Cannot be suddenly and have such understanding like this. It's very difficult. It's something very simple, like how to cook, it have to be accumulated also. So to know about the reality, to understand the reality, is much, much more difficult. So have to be developed, yes.
And if we just only hear about seeing and visible object that is seen, it's not enough, because people hear a lot about, oh, it's just seeing now, which experiences visible object, but not enough for the understanding to develop, to directly understand the reality. So this is why we have to hear about a lot of different realities, and why we hear about, like this morning, we were talking about a difficult area about three kinds of manasikara. What is the point? only to really understand very firmly what is the nature of seeing now, or what is seen now, or these other realities which can be known. Otherwise, the idea of self behind that can know or can do something is so strongly rooted. So in order to really get rid of any idea of self doing anything, even trying to be aware, we actually have to hear about different realities in many different ways and over again. Would you agree?
It depends on the accumulation of each one. I think hearing only is not enough.
So what else can be conditioned, because just hearing is not enough? Considering? Mm-hmm.
Considering, yeah.
Considering carefully what has been heard or said is most valuable of all. Because even if one's heard a little and considers very carefully, it's very useful. But if one hears a lot but doesn't consider at all, then it's useless.
And hearing the teaching is not limited. It can be about anything, because all are realities. It can be about seeing, attachment, aversion, ignorance, or the thinking. Kusala, akusala, anything.
What about focusing on the reality? Is that also a condition for understanding? Focusing on visible object or...
No? Focusing, what I mean? Focusing, that means I have to see you.
Trick question.
Because we have many realities.
Right, so...
Touching, seeing or hearing, so how can I focus?
Good.
Good. Is there any moment that you focus on something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is there?
When I do something, I have to focus on this.
But actually, no, you.
Yeah. It is nama.
Citta, cetasikas. Yeah. Is there anything yours?
Belong to me?
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, yes, but in fact, no.
Good. So, no, you at all.
In theory, yes.
Not at all.
In fact, no.
Right, right. Uh-huh. Hearing is not you. Yeah.
only understand as a level.
From hearing and considering about the truth of reality which appears. So, there's no you, right?
No, so, I am here.
So, are you sitting?
Yes.
There's no you. So, are you sitting?
No, there are me. I am here, I'm sitting.
We have to come to know what sitting is. If it's not you, no one, so what is there? What is there?
Upas.
What rupa sits?
The eight rupas that you always arise in one group. The four Mahabuddha rupas and the four other.
At moment of understanding is the sitting.
No. In the absolute sense, no.
Mm-hmm. But understanding can understand any reality at any posture at any time. If there's no question like, what is sitting? See, there can be the, still the idea that I am sitting. Or Rupa sits.
Sitting is a concept.
Yes.
Yeah, it's thinking.
But what sits?
Nothing sits. body sense experiences hardness,
mm-hmm.
Pressure.
There is
motion.
There is a reality at moment of sitting, right?
Yeah.
Hardness, softness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All are realities. Even we think that there is sitting.
Yes. But there is no sitting.
Actually, it's the rupas. Can hardness sit?
No.
Mm-hmm. What can it do?
Be experienced by body sense.
But what can rupa do?
Nothing. Can arise and be experienced by
so rupa
body consciousness when
cannot
there are
do
conditions.
Anything, right?
Correct.
Why can't it do?
It's not its function or characteristic.
It doesn't know anything, no intention to do, to sit, to walk at all. It doesn't experience anything. It's only heart. It's only sound. So is there sitting?
Only in one's thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Does this cup sit?
No.
yeah, exactly. Like.
Oh, you're doing fine, eh?
Can it lay down?
No. Can you change your posture? Can there be, is there any posture to be aware of? Not at all.
That's why in Tipitaka it says about moment of awareness that it let go or give up the idea of posture, because no posture there. Only a reality from moment to moment appearing.
So when people read it as being aware of posture, like iriyapata, what it actually means is being aware of reality that is wrongly taken for being posture. So it's a very significant difference. Any posture now, Mai? Any sitting now?
Yeah, warm.
Warm feet. Yes, I totally agree on intellectually thinking that only the concept now.
Word of concept.
Yeah, the word of concept. Mm.
So what is concept again?
Everything.
But who can live in other world? Out of the world of concept?
Without reality, there is no one, nothing at all. So what is concept?
Which is not absolutely realities.
Achan, can you tell more about the dangers of seeing, hearing, touching now?
It just rises and falls away and never come back. What for?
So it means you must have the direct understanding about the four arise and fall away.
Yes, no one at all. So what's the use of experiencing?
So must
from moment to moment
must be the direct understanding.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If then no.
Of, did you say of rise and fall?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there is no right understanding, we can see the dangers of...
It's the worst dukkha.
Yes.
Because the other dukkha can be cured, but this cannot. The arising and falling away. Only thinking about it is not so dangerous, right? Because the other reality just arises. So there is no experiencing of the falling away of the previous one. So it seems like, all right, it arises and falls away. But at moment of directly experiencing the arising and falling away of the world, because there is nothing but that reality which is the world. It's like the moment when that world broke up. Nothing is left. It's dangerous. Thinking about earthquake is dangerous, right? But that's more dangerous. Just arise and falls away, see? But even that stage of understanding still cannot eradicate completely the idea of self. It has to continue more than that. So, no danger in this place. Because of ignorance.
So, we all live in the thinking world.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is the right thinking and what is the wrong thinking?
The right one?
Right.
Right thinking is understanding now about reality, so there is in reality no one at all. There are only the flux, the arising and falling away of realities, which is condition. We cannot select any reality to arise at all. We cannot select the moment, the citta which performed the function of birth depends on karma.
What is the condition for the wise consideration of manasikara to arise?
Hearing the teachings and consider whether it's right or not, it's true or not, it can be discerned or not, it can be enlightened or not, and what's the way to experience the arising and falling away of the nature of realities?
Yes, but I'm here to listen to Achan teachings, and sometimes I have a very, very little understanding, but sometimes I understand nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it is. You cannot change. the moment of not understanding to be the understanding. And you cannot change the moment of understanding not to understand at all. So you can see the...
So the hearing, the teaching is not enough?
Never enough.
But necessary.
So much. What would you like to hear? See?
And is it, when it seems there's not much understanding or little, is there any minding about that at that time?
In the other days, you mentioned about training to be aware, to training, like develop the habits to know what appears now. The other day, you mentioned about that. So, would you like to explain more about what you meant?
It's quite difficult to explain in English. Yes, sometimes I try to understand Ajahn teaching and the other teachings about the meditation.
When you say you try, what do you mean?
I'm interested in that.
And
I think about it.
Consider carefully, wisely, to know whether it's true or not.
Yeah, I cannot. It is the wise considerations because my understanding is very limited. I just think that and I try to explain my thing.
According to what the word means, you think about that or you think differently from that?
Yeah. Yes, of course, I try to, according to the teaching.
Like what, please?
Sometimes I listen to a teacher teaching on radio who teach the meditation. And he explained the realities. Some aspects I feel the teaching is very like your teaching. He explains about the reality, about the dukkha, about the conditions, and his experience from his meditations.
What do you mean by meditation?
According to his experience, meditation is no rule. There's no room in meditation.
No meditation center?
Yes, no meditation center.
So from his considering, contemplating, meditating, or what?
I have not listened a lot about his teaching.
But what about his meditating?
First, he tries to practice the breath.
Is that right?
I just tell what I have heard from him.
But to understand what one says, there must be the considering.
At the first step, maybe at this time, he didn't have understand what is it. He just do according to someone. Tell him.
Not his own understanding about breath.
Yes.
So can it be right?
Maybe at this time it's not right.
And what time is right?
But on and on.
No. Once it's wrong, it go on wrong and wrong and wrong. At what point it can turn to be right?
But I think everybody have to come from the wrong to the right.
From no understanding, from wrong understanding.
Yeah.
And when it is right, what conditions that to be right? The right understanding cannot just arise out of the blue.
Yes, of course.
So what conditions right understanding?
Very little understanding. Conditions for the
hearing and see whether it's right or wrong. For example, meditating on breath, is it with attachment, wanting to do, or with any understanding of what breath is?
Maybe his breath practicing is not condition, did not condition for his understanding about the breath.
So
but maybe make he me feel more quiet and feel more think more about the Buddhist.
With our understanding, can we see that it's calm or attachment? Because there can be pleasant feeling with attachment, not with right understanding and not with calmness at all. So it does not depend on pleasantness or what you take for calmness. At moment of no aversion, is it calm? No aversion. Is it calm?
Yes.
No anger? Is it calm?
Yes.
No. It can be attachment. Like now. Only when kusala citta arises with wholesome cetasikas, and calmness is one of the cetasikas, parsati, cetasika. It experiences the object with calmness, with hiri, with ottapa, with satta, with all other wholesome realities. Not just wanting to do and know nothing about that, and take the pleasant feeling for calmness.
We cannot know that other are in the calm or in attachment, or because
there must be conditions for calmness,
not
just arise at will.
And the and also his teaching is not his invention. The first knowing, because the Buddha teaching is already there, so he can. Is there is not belong to anyone, so his meditation is just put him in the condition for his consideration of the Buddha teaching only, not his invention at all. So you can say that is his teaching and Ajahn teaching is similar to some aspects, is not strange.
I think that the most dangerous thing is not understanding what Buddha taught, not understanding his word. For example, the development of calmness, samatha bhavana, cannot be done without right understanding. But people ignore this, no understanding at all. Just do something to have pleasant feeling. But what is the understanding? It has to be kusala. Otherwise cannot be calm, but that person might take it as calm because no anger, no trouble, no worry.
But anyway, such attachment in such type situation is seen better than anger.
So I think that before there can be any development, there must be right understanding about that. For example, if it's the development of calmness, there must be right understanding about it. What is calmness? Can akusala be calm? Not at all.
And when you say that such attachment in that situation is better than anger, but such attachment with wrong view, we read that wrong view is most dangerous, because then one goes off the wrong way, because one thinks it's calm, one thinks it's the right way, but it's wrong. So it's more dangerous than any other akusala.
Yes, so that's what I mean is only that in a silent situation, such meditation is in a meditate situation should could be easier for the understanding to arise. But sure that we should have hearing, should have consideration of the Buddha teaching, to have the wrong, the right understanding.
Why is it easier in that situation?
It's my thinking, not the rules.
Why do you think it's easier?
Because I feel that when in silence, I can be. it's a thinking.
Because
thinking.
Focus on the object, right? Yes. Just what I thought.
So what's the benefit of hearing?
Don't hear, cannot know.
Hearing the right words, and the benefit of hearing the right words, that it conditions the right understanding, right thinking. Otherwise, we can hear anyone, listen to anyone, but there is no understanding from his words at all. So what's the benefit of hearing anything without having no understanding at all? So to hear the teachings or to hear the words of the Buddha's teaching from anyone, the benefit is to understand what is heard, whether it's right or wrong. Not just follow without thinking that it can be this or that, without studying the reality, like just one word, what is calm? If there is no understanding of calmness, and one just follow that way without understanding that it's calm or not, so what is the result? No understanding. Concentrating on breath, what's the use? What for? What is the understanding of doing so? See, if there is no understanding and just follow, it's not the right path, the right way, because there would be no understanding of anything. And that is led by lopa, for sure. If there is no lopa, no following of such method. For example, if I would say, concentrate on breath, what is the understanding? And I don't think that I'd like to hear anything without any understanding.
So could you explain more about the sitting meditation which is mentioned on Sutta?
We just talk about what sits.
But still there's sitting meditation.
Okay, but sit is sit, and what sit? No understanding, no use at all. Because when there's the idea that I am sitting, it's so common, everyone knows who sits and who doesn't sit. But what sits?
But is there meditation sitting in Sutta?
Depending on understand what is meant by meditation, and what's meant by development of understanding, and contemplating, meditating, and developing, what is there any difference? Or are they the same?
I don't know.
So, no use to listen to the words without any understanding, just follow meditation, contemplating, or developing. Each word represents the reality. Like, what is meditation? what is contemplation and what is the development. And when it's the teachings of the Buddha, it deals with right understanding each word. There must be right understanding of that word. Otherwise, it's not the word of the Buddha at all. Because Buddha means right understanding.
Despite of the meaning of the meditation sitting is, so if I still want to confirm that either
the word is there, but what is the understanding or what does it mean?
Yes, the word is there. Mm-hmm. So there must be there if there's
like seeing,
the right condition,
there is seeing, see, but what is seeing?
Yes.
He taught us about what sees,
yes.
And so there is sitting, position, but what sits, the same as what sees. He helped us to understand, not just to follow without any understanding. So what sits? When it's the understanding, it's the teachings of the Buddha. But when there's no understanding, it's not the teachings of the Buddha at all. So what sits? What sees, what hears, what thinks, what knows, what contemplates, what meditates, what develops. It brings more and more understanding. What appears in life, what is there in life.
Yes, understanding is must be the first one, but if with understanding, did the Buddha advance the monk practice?
To understand, just to understand each word he taught.
But still, the word there.
Pardon?
But still, but there.
So he taught what sits. So those who do not study the teachings do not understand,
yes,
what
right.
sits.
Yeah, must be with the understanding.
So what sits? Because there is sitting position, there is seeing, there is hearing, and Buddha told us what are there. So what sits, what sees, what hears?
It is long way for me to understand this, but I just consider about sometimes I feel that I against the word of meditation. I again just a word, but if.
But does it mean anything? Does it tell something to do?
Yes.
So what is it, please? What is meditation? So you can tell me, what are you doing while you are meditating?
Yes, as I have said that, according to me, meditation is the moment of understanding or the moment of the sati.
So now?
You mean now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Moment
maybe,
of understanding.
Yes, it may be.
So, can we not use the word meditation or meditating?
Yes.
Just understanding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So no use to think about it or try to meditate or try to persuade anyone to meditate.
Yes, no need to think about this.
Because the most important thing is understanding whatever appears.
Yes, right.
So now what sits?
Intellectually, there no sits, nothing sits.
But is there in Tipitaka, you said?
I mean that the Buddha used the worst.
He knew everything.
Yes.
So what sits?
We need the worst to understanding, to understand and to practice.
When you say I sit, it seems like you understand what you mean. Right? I sit, I'm sitting. You understand that. But no understanding of the reality which sits. But Buddha taught about the reality of each moment. No one there. But there is sitting for sure right now. So what is that which sits?
As I have learned from Ajahn that there's only the heat, the hot, the cold, the touching, the feeling, then nothing sitting here.
Is there sitting now?
But
why do you sit then?
Would you like to know what sits?
Of course.
Congenital, please. Can seeing sit? Can hearing sit?
No.
Can thinking sit?
Yes.
Can thinking sit?
Thinking sit, no.
Can attachment sit?
Yes.
There are two kinds of realities.
In one moment there is the rupa, and in the intention to sit, so there is sitting posture. So,
if there is only just one tiny unit of reality, does it sit?
Nothing sit.
But when it comes together, there's form, like we call it body. It can walk, it can lie down, it can sit. So the lump or the, what you call, the body, the kaya, sits. Without the rupa, nothing can sit. So in reality, at moment of sitting, there are many realities arising and falling away, and the teachings reminds us about not to be heedless. No heed, or what? Not to be heedless at moment of sitting. So now, heedless or heedful? And what's the teachings of the Buddha about? Understanding whatever appears as it is, as no one. Because all realities are not self. The rupa is hard. Hardness is not me. It's only hardness. See, without the rupa, there's no sitting, no walking, no drinking, no eating. So no self is there. And this can be understood from this moment and after hearing and hearing more and more. So that is not the method of meditation or meditating on anything without understanding. It's the development of understanding from hearing and considering. Until there's no you. Because in reality there is no one at all.
I think the point that Mai is trying to express is that because
meditation sitting is mentioned in the sutta, and because we seem to be criticizing a lot about meditation, so that would be let many people who doesn't consider carefully about what we say, they might think that, oh, you're saying something against what is in the sutta. Is that right?
Just before we go any further, the suttas don't talk about meditation unless you are thinking of a particular Pali word. There is no Pali term that translates as meditation, as far as I know. But the other thing is we need to read carefully when it mentions sitting to see whether people are sitting because the Buddha told them to sit, or whether he was speaking to people who were sitting and in the habit of sitting. And the other thing is about the level of understanding of the people he was speaking to at the time who were sitting. Were they sitting with right view or wrong view? And if they became enlightened at the end of the sutta, was it because they were sitting? What was the relevance of the sitting to the development of understanding? All of those things we have to consider carefully, because we can't just say in those days people were sitting and they became enlightened. That is a superficial understanding of what was there. So going back to the first of those questions, did the Buddha tell people to sit, as far as you can think at the moment?
Yeah, of course, I don't understand clearly about the sitting. What in reality meaning? But just I now want, I just want Achan explain more about the concept that Buddha mentioned on Sutta, that let's go to the forest and...
Wrong translation. It's not let's go.
He didn't tell anyone to go to the forest and sit. But just he talked about monks who had gone to the forest and sat and were able to, as the translation goes, put mindfulness to the fore. Because they already had well-developed understanding.
So the Buddha didn't advance meditation with understanding? No?
Again, we have the problem of meditation because the word doesn't appear in the suttas at all. You said a minute ago that if there's a moment of awareness or understanding, that for you is meditation, right? Is that right? Is that what you said? I think. So why would we call it meditation, and why would we not just call it development of awareness or development of understanding? Why do we need to give it another name?
Okay, let me check.
And what does it mean, development?
Oh, difficult to find the other word to express it.
For the word bhavana, it means that when there is no understanding yet, and then there is understanding, and when it's so little, it can be more
yes,
by more understanding. So it's the panya which develops. No way, no method, no place at all to develop. Only panya.
So samatha is a way to develop.
Samatha is the development of tranquility or calmness only.
Only.
Yeah. For those who can understand the danger of sensuous object. But do we have such understanding, the danger of seeing, hearing?
So who start a samatha?
Before the teachers,
directly the what rise and fall away
no,
of the reality?
No, samatha is just knowing what moment is kusala.
I understand the dangerous before.
For example, so when we were in Vietnam, many people are interested in understanding about the arising and falling away of realities and understanding the danger, and they think that now there can be the understanding of arising and falling away of and danger, but actually if there's no understanding now of what reality is, seeing now or visible object or these realities we've been hearing about, if there is an idea that there really is someone who can sit or that there is a forest, then how can there be the understanding of reality? And if there's no understanding of the reality, how can there be the very highly developed understanding of the arising and falling away of that seeing or that visible object? And then, as Ajahn explained earlier, understanding the danger is higher still. So it has to begin with the very, very clear understanding of what reality is at this moment, seeing now, visible object, no one, no sitting posture at all. Otherwise, impossible to ever understand anything about the arising and falling away of realities or the danger of realities at all. But people would just like to tick off the vipassana jnanas and think that they can understand all these things, but actually not even begin to understand intellectually what reality is at this moment. Mm.